Visitation to the Throne Room of God by Peter Tan. In 1986, when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me, I was then sitting on a sofa chair. He stood in front of me on my left. I thought he had come to answer one of my prayers, which was to visit heaven. So I put out my hand and told the Lord, "I am ready to go." The Lord smiled at me and said it was not time for me to go yet. He began to talk about other things, like the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In early 1994, when we announced that that year would be the year of visitation, I knew in my spirit that my prayers would be answered. I did not know when, but I knew it would be that year. Sometime in early April of that year 1994, my spirit was caught up in the heavenly places. It was so fast and quick. I did not have time to see anything on the journey, neither did I see the other parts of heaven. I did not even see the pearly gates. I was caught right up into the throne room of God. Somehow God knows the desires of our heart, and He knew that entering the throne room of God would satisfy my innermost longings. There was a consciousness in me that the saints in heaven knew that I was there. It seems the people in heaven know what happens to us spiritually. They know if you are walking with the Lord or not. They could sense your spiritual development and growth. When anything spiritual is about to happen in your life, they also seem to know it. Some of my friends and loved ones who were in heaven knew I was there. That was the first awareness of this realization I had when I was there. The awareness of them is as if you are very close to them, even if you may be very far from them. There is no distance in heaven. The first thing I did in the throne room was to fall before God and began weeping because I felt the love and the mercy of God. In the midst of the awesome presence of God, I realized He had fulfilled every promise and every word He had spoken over my life. Everything that you desire if you pray constantly and believe God's word and do not let doubt and fear steal it from you, God will answer. Sometimes it takes time for the answer to come, but it will come. In His presence there was an awareness that the most important thing about visitations of God is the timing. It is not just in preparations alone, which is important, for we need to have a right heart before God. It is not how holy you are, or spiritual, or how much good works you have done for God, but it is the fullness of the timing of God that determines the visitation of God upon your life. God has a place and time for it. The reason God waited until 1994 to manifest Himself to me was because there was some spiritual knowledge He wanted me to be built up first before He could reveal the throne room. It was to make the visitation more permanent in my life. I believe if God had done it earlier, I would not have been spiritually ready. That is what I mean about proper timing. We cannot afford to be anxious about the visitations of God upon our life in any way. We need to tell Him, "Lord, it doesn't matter how you manifest or when you do it. We just want to be in the perfect will of God to receive the right things at the right time." If it is not God's time for your visitation, and if it happens, which would not, the impact and the effect of that visitation would not be permanent. Then, the understanding came that God the Father, the Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit does not have a mansion or a place to stay, unlike the saints in heaven who have mansions to live in. I was struck by the fact that the throne room was God's house. This was where He lived. God's throne room was His house. We know all of heaven is His habitation, but the throne room was where He lived. In John 14:1, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Heaven is God's house. You never read anywhere in the Bible where it says that Jesus has a mansion, or the Father has a special place where He goes in to retire from time to time, or do whatever things He wants. The throne room was where He resided. It was His living room, bedroom, and working place where He permanently dwelt. The next awareness I had was God was the source of all light in the whole heavens. The Bible says there are no suns in heaven, for the glory of God lights up all of heaven. We read in the Word that angels radiate light, and their presence have a shininess about them. In heaven, angels have different degrees of brightness of the glory of God, but the awareness was that all those brightness and shininess of all the creations of God, in the heavens, angels, saints, and others, was only a reflection. The awareness of this fact was very strong. All the heavenly garments were made from substances of the spirit realm, like righteousness, praise, etc. All these were living substances. When we worship God, these are the substances that go from our spirit to God. Jesus told the rich young man in Luke 18:22, to sell off all he had, and to give it to the poor, and he would receive rewards in heaven. The most important thing about giving and doing any good works is not the works itself, or what we do. It is the attitude of your heart that determines the reward. When we do it, led by the Spirit, and the heart attitude is right, there is some spiritual force and substance that goes to God from our spirit. In Philippians 4:18, Paul says to the Philippians that the offerings that they gave to him were a sweet-smelling fragrance unto God. They had tangible spiritual substances. When Noah offered an animal sacrifice offering to God, after he came out of the ark, it was the right attitude of Noah's heart that God smelled as a sweet aroma. It was not the smell of the burnt animal sacrifice, which probably did not smell nice at all, that God was referring to. Noah's right heart attitudes gave rise to spiritual substances that went towards God. In Revelation 14, it says that the white robe garments in heaven are the righteous works of the saints. This means that whatever good works that you do for God will be your spiritual deposit in heaven. We read in Isaiah 61 about the garments of praise. In Revelation, it mentions about the prayers of the saints going up in heaven. These right attitudes of hearts of the saints as they carry out spiritual works on earth produce substances that make the heavenly mentions, heavenly rewards, heavenly crowns and garments, etc. It is very important that anything you do for God, your attitude of heart must be right when you do it, and the intention is out of love for God and the people, then the freeness and the fullness of the spiritual substances from your heart will go to God to make up your heavenly rewards. These heavenly garments are not able to produce light itself. They are like the moon to the sun. The brightness and the shininess of the moon is dependent upon the sun. In the same way, the brightness of the angels and heavenly garments of the saints are a reflection of the glory of God. I was fully aware that if God were to somehow stop that light that came from the throne, every angel, plant, and heavenly garment would turn black. There would be none of that brightness anymore then. There was an acute awareness, as I looked into the glory of God, that, who I am, what I wear, whatever saints are wearing in heaven, and all the brightness of the mansion surrounding the throne were only a reflection. Literally you could say His life is in us. It is because of the constant pulsating river of life that keeps flowing out from the throne of God that lights up every life in heaven. Glory and life are one in heaven. To have life is to have glory. To have glory is to have life. Another thing I was aware was that the garments were constantly changing for different purpose. We don't have the same clothing for 10,000 years times 10,000 years in heaven. There are different types of clothing that we wear, and they are a reflection of God and what He is doing. On this earth, some people wear clothes that indicate they were kind rank. In heaven, the garments are the same with an exception. On this earth, many uniforms are uncomfortable and most prefer to wear casual informal clothes. In heaven, all the garments feel casual. They are not uncomfortable at all. In heaven, the two are one. All the clothings are an expression of the different rankings and work of the angels for the different type of work they do. I was really astounded as I saw what was happening. I did not know that angels change clothes. They do not have a wardrobe in a sense like we have on earth. What I saw was when angels came to the throne room on an assignment, they would take away different things with them. Sometimes they took with them swords, sometimes a vase or different things to send to the people on the earth. And each of these things are powerful impartation of gifts or substances. It is literal in the spirit world, although it is only a tangible feeling in your spirit when you receive it. When you receive a gift from God, say a ring, it is God literally giving it to you, although in your natural body you may just feel only a heavy impartation of the anointing. In the spirit realm, there are many, many types of gifts God sends to His peoples, and the angels are commissioned to send them. As the angels came near the throne room to receive the commands of God, their garments are changed instantly, and they march out of God's throne with their commission. After weeping before the throne room for some time, Jesus stepped out from His throne and invited me to sit on it. I replied, Lord, a sense of awe filled me, not of an unwillingness to disobey Him, but it was like saying, this is more than I could take. I knew that word of God says in Ephesians 2, Verse 7. We are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but this is heaven, and you do not simply sit on God's throne. But he held my hand and placed me on his throne. This was what it was like to sit on the throne of God. The past, present and the future disappear. It was like a position you entered into where everything in the past and everything in the future is just like the present. There is no time. You do not feel it. And everything that God has spoken from the throne, through the prophets that spoke, and what Jesus said while he was on the earth will come to pass. There was an awareness that Jesus and the Father need not to lift one finger to make the Word of God come to pass. The power and impact of the spoken Word of God, even if it was spoken ages ago, was so powerful. You could feel the awesome power of it in heaven and on the throne seat of Jesus. You know the spoken Word of God has come to pass or would come to pass. There was an awareness that it was done, completed and finished. The consciousness of that power that emanated on the throne of Jesus that could cause the fulfillment of the spoken word of God was acute. The power of the word that was issued forth like a royal command was such that all Jesus had to do was to sit on the throne and reign, and it would come to pass. Hebrews 1:5-8. There is an authority that flows out from the throne, a power that seems to compel everything to conform to its reign. The only reason God uses angels and the saints is not because he does not have enough power in himself to do it, but to give us an opportunity to experience what it is like from his point of view to do his things. Before there were any angels, God had an ability to call into being anything. This same ability is still there. There was such an intense power issuing out from the throne of Jesus to put pressure upon every man, woman, and child, and everything on earth to conform to the will of God. God has his angels to do his job. But God's power was such that he could do it without his angels. It was like a person with such power that all he needs is to say it, and it is done. We know that took place in Genesis 1, where God said, "It, and it was." In 1 Corinthians 15:25-27, "For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet." But when he says, "All things are put under him," it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. His being on the throne puts an intense pressure on all things to come under his feet. Jesus said in Mark 11:23-24, that if you have faith in your words, and do not doubt in your heart, the mountain will be removed when you speak to it. This verse is talking about believing in what you say, and when you speak to the mountain, and believe it, it will put pressure upon the mountain to be removed. That is what it was like in the throne room. The intense and awesome power of Jesus reigning upon the God made me unable to stand it for long. There is another aspect of the throne. We tend to think that all the things surround the throne of God. And there is a glassy sea, like crystal, before the throne. It is not quite like that. You could not see what was behind the throne of God. If I take a chair and sit on it, you could see what is behind the chair, and around it. It was like some sort of glory or life flowing out from it. It was like the throne was connected in infinity. Behind the throne is infinity. You could see as far as you wanted to see, further than the natural. Yet there was no limit to the life that issued forth from the throne. It was like looking into infinity. You cannot see the end. I believe there is possibly some other universe that Almighty God has created in his greatness, and we are only one small tiny part of the universe. It is like infinity times infinity of the worlds God has created. It was awesome to know how powerful and great our Almighty God is. Like, I was aware that the manifestation of the throne room is to different degrees. I could hardly comprehend it. It was like if there was another universe somewhere with a different world, then the throne room of God, which is linked up to infinity, would also be linked to this universe, and to many, many other universes. And God is conscious of what is here, and what is further out there, even to the furthest reaches of the entire universe. Seeing infinity is like putting two mirrors opposite each other, and you can see as far as you want to see, and there is no end to it. And there are many manifestations of the throne of God to every universe connected to it in infinity. Then within heaven itself, it was like there were different planes in heaven. Within each place was a manifestation of God. It is not like having different planes or degrees of glory, and there is a throne of God for each plane. There is only one plane where the throne of God is, but if you were on the lower plane, and you approached God, from that lower plane, you would still see God's throne, but the throne of God you would see and experience would be from that lower plane. It is the same throne but reflected through, for example, 7 degrees of glory, and you see the throne of God differently from the way I see it. I was intensely aware that believers could reach to the throne of God and see different parts of the throne from what I saw. That was what really astonished me. It is like if we have many layers of glass in different degrees of transparency. Suppose I put a light bulb in front of the different glasses. You could see the light bulb in different degrees according to the different degree of transparency of the glasses. If you were on the lower plane, you could still see the light bulb, but it is not just a reflection, but it is like seeing it in a hologram. In the earth you would see it like a reflection. But in heaven, if you approach the throne on the lower plane, it is like seeing the light is there, but you know it is not, but from a different plane. Because it has passed the different degrees of glory, and you are seeing it from the lowest plane, you will see the throne of God differently. People could approach the throne at these different levels or planes. When you are at the highest plane, you can begin to understand seeing the throne from other different planes. So in the children's paradise, they will also have the manifestation of God's throne room too, only at a different level. The throne room of God is not static. It does not stay the same where you imagine you see only the glory of God and the shininess of it all the time. Different things take place at the throne at different times. After the experience of sitting with Jesus, I was allowed to stand and watch all those things. When Elijah said, "I stand in the presence of God," I began to understand what he meant. It meant standing in the presence of God and being able just to watch all the activities taking place in heaven. Heaven is a beehive of activities. Different things were coming to the throne of God and things were also being issued forth. Whenever people on earth worship God and sing "How great is our God and Jesus our King and Commander-in-Chief," there is a type of glory that reflects His kingship, His authority, and power in the kingly sense, and each with its different shades. And if people are singing about the God of love, the fatherhood of God, then the throne room would have a different light that shines out and you could see the soft warm love flowing out from the throne. God is who we say He is. And what God manifests to us at the throne is what we see and say of Him on earth. When you know Him as Jehovah Jireh and call Him Jehovah Jireh, He becomes Jehovah Jireh to you. When you call Him Jehovah Shammah, He becomes Jehovah Shammah to you, and you will have the nearness of His gentleness. When you call Him Jehovah Tzidkenu, the righteousness of God begins to come forth. Whichever attribute you call God by, His manifestation changes accordingly. I was astounded by how much the throne of God was going into the many different manifestations of glory according to the worship of His people. That is why He revealed His name, as I am that I am. When you begin to add whatever you perceive to the I Am, He begins to manifest accordingly, because He is the Alpha and the Omega. Whichever name you use to say and speak about God according to your revelation, that is what He is, because it contains all of the Alpha and the Omega you could understand of, even beyond what you can see and think. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are, and were created. The Lord Jesus appeared as a Lamb of God. This was the throne room. We know Jesus is in the form of a glorified man. But look, He appears differently in Revelation 5:6, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Notice Jesus was representing something else. He was not just representing man seated on the right hand of God, but He was doing something different now for the destiny of nations, and it was a full manifestation that was like a Lamb. In Revelation 5:12, it describes the worship of the Lamb. Whatever we sing about, the heavens begin to manifest and the glory of the Lord begins to shine forth according to the great I Am that I Am. Not that we change Him, for He changes not, but what we receive from Him according to what you see and say of God. Do not say of God according to your limited mind. Say what the Word says He is, and He will be all that He is unto you. Sometimes the manifestation of the glory of God was so powerful in the throne room that I felt like I was in a furnace, and I could not even see the face of God. The sun is constantly having solar flares all the time, and according to scientists, there is an 11-year cycle where more sunspots take place in the sun during these cycles. This is only a small illustration of the fiery things that are constantly taking place at the throne of God. Hallelujah! Somehow what we do spiritually on the earth does bring some manifestation from the throne of God. In heaven, one of the busiest times is when there are various activities going on with the saints on earth. Sunday is not only a very busy day on earth, whereby many believers all over the world worship God. It pleases God when there are spiritual activities that go on in the earth. I saw the things coming out from the earth to heaven. Those things were substances of our praises, prayers, sacrifices, giving, right attitudes of our hearts described earlier that go up to God in worship. It was not just a one-way thing upward, but a two-way traffic, the rays of light that come upwards to heaven and rays of light going downwards. These rays were substances going up to heaven creating an activity in heaven, and the angels of God were bringing the substances of the saints and bringing them to God, like real offerings before Him. Oh, the awesomeness of the things of God! One of the most beautiful things that God shared with me on the throne was He gave me a glimpse of what my work would be in heaven. It is already so wonderful if you discover what God's will for you on this earth. It was so glorious. God doesn't just want us to visit His throne. He wants the throne room to be our home. And I began to realize what He was saying, that we do not go to visit God in heaven once in a while, and then we come back to earth to do our earthly duties and responsibilities. But Ephesians 2:6 says the opposite: we have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The most wonderful message that God gave was that heaven is our home now. Ephesians 2 is in the past perfect tense. It is not, we shall be though our physical bodies are on this earth. Our spirits can actually remain there. God gave me the understanding that my spirit can remain there, while my body can be down here on earth. From time to time our spirits have to descend to this earth to fulfill our earthly responsibilities, but we need to go back there. We should not visit God in heaven once in a while. Instead, it should be the opposite. What God meant is that our spirits can be there. The authority that we have on this earth is proportional to our spirits in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1:20-23. These principalities and powers are demon forces that have set themselves up in the atmosphere of the earth to block the glory of God from coming to us and to hinder us from reaching His glory. Our spirits can be pulled down by our soul and by our body, if we allow it. We can then never escape from the gravitational pull of the law of sin and death. However, our spirits can ascend high above it. The reason why God wants us to ascend high up is that when our spirits are up there, our spirits can wrestle with principalities, powers, and wicked spirits. Then we can begin to affect the throne of Satan. A lot of Christians are fighting the lower ranks. They are just having skirmishes with the enemy. But God wants us to enter the war of victory to overcome him. Unless the strong man is bound, we cannot spoil the goods. For example, when Jesus cast out the man with the legions, he only spoke to the main one. He did not speak to the other smaller demons. A lot of Christians are wrestling with the smaller demons of the lower kind, and yet they are not having victory in their lives because they are not ascending to the throne. The higher we go, the greater the authority, Ephesians 6:12-14. The only way we can overcome these powerful demons is to be in the heavenly places, F3:9-10. The only way we can shake the nations of the world is to shake the demon forces governing these nations. When we begin to ascend up, the demon powers begin to recognize our authority in God, because we now come from the throne room of God. That is why the demons knew Paul well enough to scream his name out, Acts 19:15. Elijah had such an authority over the natural earth because he always said, "I stand in the presence of God." That is why he had such power over the weather and the natural elements, because his spirit was not down on earth. His spirit had somehow ascended high up. The reason was he walked so close with God. Today, God does not want one Elijah. He wants many Elijahs. He wants His church to be in the heavenly places. We only receive the heavenly blessings when we are in the heavenly places. Then from the heavenly places, our spirit descends with the heavenly blessings, and these blessings work out on this earth in our physical body. It is not true to say that if you are so heavenly minded, you are of no earthly use. We can be so earthly minded that we are of no heavenly use. What God wants is not the dreaminess that the proverb is referring to. Unless you are in the heavenly places, you are a worm in this earth, making no real impact in it. The aim of this message is, Church, the throne room is supposed to be your home now. The End. By Peter 10.